faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
I'm glad you are with us today. Let's talk about spiritual deception. Spiritual deception. Got all these books and papers out here. Try to get these things straightened around. Spiritual deception. All right. So, here's a book. Talk about spiritual deception. Here's a book from 1992. I've had this in my library for a long time, obviously. This is from 1992. A directory of environmental activities and resources in the North American religious community. A directory of environmental activities and resources in the North American, what's the word? Religious community. Summer 1992. It's a project of the joint appeal by religion and science for the environment. There's that word, follow the science. The science, really? Is it about science? Because what you're going to find out is it's not about science, it's about occultism. It's about, it's about New Age occultism. It's not about following the science. Isn't it interesting the things they say, well, this is about science. No, it's about occultism. So many of the so-called experts today are really what? They're not experts at all. They're occultists. They're occultists. And what does an occultist do? Follow Satan. What does Satan do? Masquerades as an angel of light, the Bible says. Masquerades as someone that has the answers, that has the key, the truth. And what does Satan like to do? Use masking terms for deception, right? Use masking terms for deception. So here we see. Are we shocked then if Satan likes to use masking terms for deception that his disciples would also do the same? So this is science. No, I'm sorry. You mean it's your occultism. It's your occultism that you're calling science. But it's not science at all. Evolution, biological evolution, is not science. It does not agree with the known laws of the universe, first and second laws of thermodynamics. Your biological Darwinian evolution is actually contrary to the known laws of the universe or science. And of course, we know what? The question of origins comes down to an issue of your worldview and faith. Your worldview and faith. What's your worldview? How do you look at this issue of the question of origins? We all have the same evidence. How do you interpret the evidence? You interpret it through your worldview or your presupposition. You come to it with a presupposition, right? You come to it with the presupposition and worldview of biological evolution, naturalism, Darwinian evolution, and you say, there is no God. Therefore, this all happened by random chance over billions and billions and billions of years. See, that's their presupposition, right? And we come to it with the presupposition and the belief based on our faith that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? So we're all coming to the question of origins on the basis of our presupposition, which is based on our worldview and faith. Presupposition, worldview, faith. Because at the end of the day, I have faith that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can I prove it? Well, I wasn't there. And I can't repeat it. And isn't that the definition of science, the traditional definition of science? Observation and repeatable experiment. I didn't observe the creation of the world. I can't repeat it. But I do believe it is consistent with the known laws of the universe. That is, again, operational science or science. The evolutionist says, I'm going to bring my faith and presupposition to bear and have faith that it happened by random chance over billions and billions and billions of years. That's my faith. We both come to it at the end of the day by faith. Our presupposition, our worldview, and faith. Now, one happens to be consistent with the laws of nature, the laws of science, and that absolutely an all-powerful God could create, who has never created, who had no beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. He had no beginning, thus he needed no creator. He needed no cause because he always has been. Therefore, my faith says absolutely, if he wasn't created, now if he was created, a created being, we've got a problem. Because now we're trying to figure out who created God, right? Just like we're trying to figure out who created the world or how it evolved. But if God is eternal, he's a spirit who is eternal, he has no beginning, he has no end, he doesn't need a creator because he's always been and he is thus the creator. Therefore, based on that belief, that assumption, that presupposition, my faith, it is consistent to say an all-powerful God could create the world. Help me out there, Logan. There we go. But we come to the question of origins by our presupposition, our worldview, and faith. Mine and yours, most of you watching and listening, just come to it with me along with a worldview, a presupposition, and a faith that isn't contradicted by the known laws of the universe. So isn't it interesting that these people always want to appeal to science, but their very presupposition, their worldview, and their faith is in itself is not consistent with science. But that is the lie of Satan. Call it something that it isn't. We'll call it science. But it's really occultism. It's really occultism. And that's what this is from 1992. A directory of environmental activities and resources in the North American religious community. Summer 1992. And when you open it, you'll see right away on the front page who is the supporters of this work, the joint appeal, is it called? The supporters include the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. Liberals. Stephen Rockefeller. Oh, you mean the one that was, I think, involved with the Ark of Hope, where they took this replica of the Ark of the Covenant, painted it with New Age symbols, and put what are supposed to be the alternatives to the Ten Commandments in it, the Ten Alternatives for Environmentalism, the Ark of Hope. And eventually they took it to the United Nations. Stephen Rockefeller was behind that, right? So he's involved in this. We also have involved the Tides Foundation. Oh, wow. Go look up the Tides Foundation. All the radicalism they've been involved in. And then, of course, we have the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund. So we have a bunch of radicals, and they're wanting to pass off environmentalism using religion, but it's really occultism. And who's involved back in 1992 in this report? Well, you have a lot of groups. You have the Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs. The Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs. You have the Baha'i Faith, the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. You have the Armenian Church of America. You have, and it goes on and on, I'll give you a few more. The Church of God, Anderson, Indiana. You're kidding me. Yeah. Church of God, Anderson, Indiana. Wow, I could say a lot there, but I won't. Council of Jewish Federations. The Episcopal Church, USA. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Evangelicals for Social Action. Wait a minute. Isn't that those guys that were working with... what's his face? Oh, it'll come to me. Ron Sider. So, we have the Global Forum of Spirituality and Parliamentary Leaders of Human Survival. Friends Committee on Unity with Nature. Unity with Nature. Friends Community on Unity with Nature. the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility, the Interfaith Coalition on Energy. I'm skipping over a bunch. The Interfaith Impact for Justice and Peace. Boy, they got a lot of interfaithism going on here. The Jewish Theological Seminary of America. And it says underneath it, Conservative Judaism. Really? Conservative Judaism. Okay. Well, that's right. Let's unite up with all of these globalists, many of them who I think if we got delved into their worldview are not very friendly to Israel or the Jews, but okay. The Joint Appeal by Religion and Science and Environment. The Mennonite Central Committee. The Mennonite Central Committee. I can't read all of these, but man, there's a lot of them. Native Americans for a Clean Environment. Yeah, there's your paganism. Pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. North American Conference on Christianity and Ecology. Boy, they love to get the Christians and the Jews involved. Here's another one. National Jewish Community Relations Advisory Council. National Council of the Churches of Christ in the USA. Progressive National Baptist Convention. Oh, yeah, progressive. Mm-hmm. Reformed Church in America. Presbyterian Church, USA. Let's see. Religious Action Center of Reformed Judaism. Shalom Center. Southern Baptist Convention. Oh, that's got to be a typo. No. Southern Baptist Convention. You mean the Vatican out of Nashville? The Protestant Vatican out of Nashville? Yeah, I'm sorry my voice went so high there, but there you go. The Southern Baptist Convention out of Nashville. Yep. And I have to read a little of that. In March of 1991, the CLC sponsored its annual seminar devoted entirely to environmental concerns. This is the Baptist Faith and Message article on every Christians and the social order calls every Christian to, quote, bring industry, government, and society as a whole under the principles of righteousness and truth and brotherly love. Well, then, if you're wanting to work with righteousness, why are you hooking up with a bunch of people that deny the deity of Christ, the lordship of Christ, the creation of the world, the Bible? But the Southern Baptist folks, they've been an apostate. I know, it wasn't popular to say 20 years ago when I was saying it. But it's been an apostate organization for a long time. But let me tell you, many, 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 many good, listen to me, good Bible-believing Christians who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, who believe in the authority of Scripture, who believe in the biblical eschatology that we believe in and the Bible teaches, who believe in so many sound biblical things. You know what breaks my heart? So many of those good, good, dear people, and I know so many of them from the South, where the Southern Baptist is so prominent, right? They have given millions upon millions upon millions upon millions to build a system that is ushering in the kingdom of the Antichrist. Why? Because people didn't understand, so many of them, the real worldview war. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. I'm Got Logan looking for a video clip for me real quick. Let's see. All right, found it. Good. I'll come to that. Okay, I didn't find the clip, I don't think, Logan, but I found a news article about it over on Fox News. If you could find an actual video clip of the guy saying it, if that's possible. Okay, because I'm going to bring that up here. What the Pentagon's now saying about UFOs, which fits into where I'm going today. Where I'm going is to show you that there has been now, for a long, long time, an ecumenicalism, an interfaithism of people that should know better, including the Southern Baptist Convention. And they're in this book from 1992, which is tied back to all kinds of apostate groups and religious groups and radical occultists, environmentalists, etc. But here's the Southern Baptist Convention saying the conference also stressed human stewardship and personal responsibility in caring for God's creation and offered participants guidance in starting recycling programs at their own churches. That's what it's come down to, folks. Recycling. Let's not worry about making sure we're preaching a right, clear, biblical gospel and training people accordingly. Let's make sure they're recycling. Which, by the way, we've done whole programs on the scam of recycling and how much it costs to recycle and how much recycling damages the environment. I'm not going to go redo that program, but we have looked up the amount of damage that recycling does to the, quote, environment. We also found out that a lot of these recycling bins, the garbage ends up in the same place as the other garbage. I'm not kidding. We did a show on that many years ago. In 1981, the CLC produced a brochure offering issues and answers on energy, emphasizing the need for stewardship, conservation, and social justice in making energy choices. This is the Southern Baptist Convention, right in this New Age, occultic, interfaith, UN, globalist document from 1992. And who's behind it? None other than the executive director, treasurer, Richard Land. Richard, good old Richard. I think he also belonged to the Council on Foreign Relations. Go look that up. He didn't like my saying that, apparently. Criticized me on national radio show for pointing that out. Good old Richard. Emphasizing an environmental justice. So they're into social justice, the Southern Baptist Convention, back in 1992, folks. Emphasizing an environmental justice perspective. The CLC's 1990 World Hunger Guidance chronicled natural and man-made ecological disasters and the resulting impoverishment and hunger among those affected. The San Francisco earthquake, Hurricane Hugo, and other natural disasters were examined for the Southern Baptist Convention response. In addition, the publication Endangered Earth, Helping Southern Baptists Feed a Hungry World, demonstrated the linkage between hunger and such man-made disasters, listen now, as deforestation, soil erosion, and pollution. This is what your Southern Baptist Convention is working on, folks, as far back as 1992. Now most of them are for open borders, woke theology, preaching white privilege from the pulpit. Christians are the source of racism. We're all racist now, David Platt, Matt Chandler, all these guys teaching this, part of the Southern Baptist Convention and others. Rick Warren wanting to work with the Clinton Global Foundation for bringing and killing off the five global giants, working with the Muslims to do it. But when I was saying this 25 years ago, you can't believe the emails I got. And you can't believe the number of Southern Baptist pastors and others that were like, House is crazy. House is a divider. He's not for unity. And as we go through this, we find one page, one document after another of people. Here we have the Dr. Elizabeth Bowen, representative North National Spiritual Assembly of the Baha'is of the United States, and this professor here. And one picture after another of the Honorable John Danforth, United States Senate, Democrat from Missouri. And all these people, as one picture after another, having these animals blessed, bringing the animals into the churches and having them blessed. Here's literally looks like a circus. It's celebrating the Feast of St. Francis. And I'm not kidding you, folks. It is a circus. They brought an elephant into the church. I see in the picture an elephant and a camel. An elephant, a camel, an emu. I mean, it looks like a literal circus, this picture right here. Looks like a literal circus. I mean, they got an elephant. in the church. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book or something, right? The elephant in the attic of the church. And the point I'm trying to make to you is there has been such a spiritual merging going on for so far beyond what most people realize. And what is it doing? It is setting up, I believe, a great spiritual deception for those of us who have not gone along with this. Now, I go back to how I started with evolution. You see, evolution helps to teach the concept and the idea that there is likely more evolved intelligent life elsewhere. In fact, some evolutionists believe, that it was aliens that seeded what was needed. Now we're going Dr. Seuss. It was aliens that seeded what was needed to propagate creation on the earth, or evolution on the earth, I should say. There are actually guys that believe that. It was the aliens that seeded the material necessary for the origin of life on planet Earth. Aliens. Which means, if the world is billions and billions of years old, because that's what evolution needs, is matter and time, right? Mutations, lots and billions of mutations in time. If it took billions to evolve the world, and the matter that was used to seed it by aliens, that means the aliens are very, very old. Maybe trillions of years old. Billions and billions if the earth is, and they seeded it, that makes them even older than the billions and billions of the earth, which means they could be in the trillions. Far more advanced than us. Having knowledge that we need to save ourselves. And so I've been warning, with one broadcaster after another, talking about a spiritual deception related to aliens. Now remember the book by my friend, I'm hoping that's a cup of coffee coming this direction. It isn't? No? Well, you could always ask Miss Melissa if she could bring me one. Remember this book, Fast Facts on False Teachings, by my friend Ron Carlson, I've referenced so much? He concludes it by saying, would you be shocked if the Antichrist showed up on some kind of UFO and walked out and offered up all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and began to offer solutions to the world? Now let's talk about, before I go to what is being reported on Fox News. Well, let me just tell you. Here is what they're reporting. Pentagon official suggests alien mothership in our solar system could send many probes to Earth. Now, it was in a report. It's not a video, okay? I thought maybe we could... A research paper. Can you email me the research paper? Thank you. I thought maybe we'd actually catch a guy at the Pentagon saying it on camera. But it was a research report, says Logan in my ear, because I had him looking. But here's the Fox News, March 14th, headline, today being March 16th. Pentagon officials suggest alien mothership in our solar system could send many probes to Earth. And there it is, right there in the subtitle. New research paper in draft form comes from the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Now, I really had to think that that was probably a joke, right? I'm like, yeah, that's making my job too easy. They're making my job too easy. It can't be that easy. It can't be so easy that the Pentagon is saying what I've been, theorizing. What I've been theorizing along with others, including my friend, the late Dr. Ron Carlson, who sadly passed away in June of 2011. And oh, do I wish he was here. Not for his sake, because he would never want to come back. But do I wish he was here for my selfish desires of picking his brain, getting his opinion and analysis and theological study of the word. And of course, we would never wish someone to come back to Earth from heaven. It would be selfish on our part to wish that, right? But wouldn't we, and that's why we so mourn at funerals, right? We're mourning for ourselves and the loss. That's understandable. We're mourning for ourselves, but unless they're a non-believer, we don't mourn for them. We don't mourn as those who have no hope. That's what the Bible says. We don't mourn as those who have no hope. We have hope. We mourn at a funeral of a loved one who knew the Lord because it is such a gigantic loss to us. our love for them, our appreciation for them, our partnership with them, our friendship with them, our work, our worker. They're a fellow worker. And that's why we miss, for instance, Ron Carlson and Jimmy DeYoung. To be able to call Jimmy DeYoung, we miss our advisors. We miss our counselors, right? So many of us were their students. Now we've taken their place. And how we long to talk to our counselor, to our mentor, to our advisor, to our teacher, and say, what do you think from your years and years and years of study? You know what's really interesting is that not too many years from now, should the Lord not return, I will eventually be older than Ron Carlson was when he passed away. Isn't that interesting to think about? You guys ever think about that? You ever think about the fact that one day, someone you really admire and respect who passed away too early, who you loved their teaching and their wisdom, and eventually, if you live long enough, you'll surpass the age they were at when they died. It won't be too many more years before I surpass the age of which Ron Carlson was at when he died. And I think I would love to have the wisdom of Ron Carlson to lean on now and to learn from and to gain insight from. But you know what I use that to say to myself? Keep doing what Ron did. Keep studying. Keep reading. Keep studying the Bible and reading. Keep doing what is necessary to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to have understanding. You know, isn't that interesting right there? I mean, that's a sermon right there. Think about that for a minute. When we quench or when we diminish the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life, you know what we end up with? We end up with many consequences, but one of the consequences we end up with is we don't have the wisdom, the discernment, the insight that we need. Did you know that? Now, you'll never lose your salvation, I believe, if you're truly a believer. The Bible says he never plucks you out of his hand. But you can lose the dynamite, the dumos, the dynamite that's described as the Holy Spirit in its full power. Now, you won't lose the Holy Spirit, but you can lose the power. You won't be gaining the full power of the Holy Spirit through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who indwells believers. And what do we see, how we know this is part from what? There's justification, instant salvation, and then there's sanctification, right? Sanctification. And so many of my Calvinist, neo-Calvinist friends get justification and sanctification confused, and they end up with a works gospel. And they run around trying to declare on petty little things who's a Christian and who's not. Well, you know, some people don't practice sanctification as the same as others. That's why some people produce more fruit than others. But their justification is not in question. What's in question is their sanctification and where they're at. That's will question their in filling with the Holy Spirit, bring my music up louder if you would, which questions their understanding of things because they have suppressed the power necessary of the Holy Spirit. They haven't lost. They have not been indwelt as much as they could by the Holy Spirit to have the power and the understanding and the knowledge and the discernment. Now, that means that guys like you and me and gals like you and me that pursue the truth can one day have that same wisdom as an older guy that's passed away. We'll be right back. At WVWTVstore.com. It has a 25-year shelf life, and it's actually really good. I've had freeze-dried food for my family on hand since 2013. We have available gluten-free. We have a 3-month pack, a 1-year, a 2-year. Many of you are ordering 1 and 2 year, and now we're offering free freight. For some of you, because you're ordering so much, that's going to save you hundreds of dollars. We also have a mega protein kit with real meat and the ultimate breakfast kit. They come in individual pouches, easy instructions to follow, a 25-year shelf life. You can order now at WVWTVstore.com or call 901-468-9357. WVWTVstore.com or call and have all your questions answered by calling 901-468-9357. Your family should have an emergency food supply on hand. Thank you for your support in making your order. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Now, let's go back to the headline. Let me finish what I was saying. So as you look at guys like Ron Carlson, who had so much wisdom and knowledge, who passed away, and a few more years I'll surpass the age he was at when he died, we, through the same process he did, we can be equal to, and maybe if we live long enough, exceed the wisdom or knowledge Ron had, right? That's the great thing about the sanctification process. So when we think about these guys sometime and how I'd love to pick up the phone and call them and ask them what they think, I can't do that. That encourages me all the more to do what they did to obtain the wisdom and knowledge that they had. I remember in my early 20s listening to guys teach and thinking, how do they know so much? And off the top of their head. And you know what really blew my mind was when we were at conferences, and then in front of 1,000+ people, they do Q&A. They had no idea the question that was coming. And I thought to myself, that has got to be so frightening to stand there in front of 1,000+ people, open up the floor for questions and field questions. That's got to be so frightening. And then to watch these guys answering the questions with such knowledge of the topic without any notes. And I thought to myself as a young man, I want to be able to do that one day. I would love to have that level of understanding and be able to do that one day. And that's when I said to myself, well, how did they get there? Look how old they are. And how did they get there? Time and study. Time and study. And we can do that, all of us, every one of us. So when you think about, well, what would Jimmy DeYoung say? What would Adrian Rogers say? What would Ron Carlson say? What would Vance Havner say? I go down the list, right? What would John Wolford say? Well, we can know, thankfully, due to the ministry they left behind, a lot of books and tapes. But we can know the answers to the questions ourselves through our own study with enough time and study. So all of this, from the Southern Baptist Convention to all these other groups that have partnered up with one false teacher after another for years and years and years. And again, I'm not saying that out of these denominations haven't come great ministers. I just mentioned one right then, Adrian Rogers, right? And I don't know, Adrian may not even known this was going on. So the thing about the Southern Baptists is, one of the positive things about the Southern Baptists is they're independent. They believe in the autonomy of the local church. So that's one good thing about the Southern Baptist Convention. So understand, when I'm criticizing the Southern Baptist Convention, I'm talking about the headquarters in Nashville, okay? And I'm talking about, sadly, the many, many wonderful Christian people that gave money to their church who were part of the cooperative program that then kicked it back, a percentage of it, back to the headquarters in Nashville so they could fund the horrible things that the Southern Baptist Convention has funded over the years, like participating in this and the work of Richard Land, in my opinion. But one of the positives about the Southern Baptist Convention is they believe in the autonomy of the local church. And I know for a fact that there were things that Adrian Rogers and many Southern Baptist Convention pastors disagreed with because they were working hard at the convention to bring resolutions to stop certain things, right? The feminism, the women preachers. I know of guys like Stoney Shaw, Pastor Stoney Shaw in St. Louis. He was at First Baptist Church of Ferguson, Missouri. Remember that? That's a name, Ferguson, Missouri. Well, we went to First Baptist Church of Ferguson, Missouri before Ferguson, Missouri got put on the map with all the riots. Remember that? We went there and held a Worldview Weekend at least twice. Well, Stoney Shaw was the pastor at the time. He was one of the men who worked, and I think he worked with Ron Carlson and Ed Decker. He was one of the men that worked to bring a resolution to the Southern Baptist in the early 90s. I think it was 1993. To denounce Freemasonry for the occultism that it is. And sadly, what happened? Well, the Freemasons put out the word to many of their Freemason members to go and become what are called messengers, representatives of their churches, to the convention, and they were able to get the resolution rewritten that didn't condemn Freemasonry, but actually said aspects of it were consistent with Christianity. So understand, there are people like Stoney Shaw and many others, Adrian Rogers, that worked to do what they did. But I'm criticizing the convention, the headquarters. But I'm sorry that many of these churches funded the headquarters, which got us where we are today. Which today, it's pretty clear what the Southern Baptist Convention's about. Pretty clear, right? So this has laid the apostasy of environmentalism, pantheism, ecumenicalism, interfaithism, the radical environmentalist agenda. And the radical environmentalist agenda is largely, this is now, because this is going to help you really understand what the point I'm trying to drive home. The radical environmentalist agenda is based, as I started, on Darwinian evolution. Now, for the New Agers, you say, well, wait a minute, the New Agers believe, those who are into cosmic humanism believe in Darwinian evolution? No, they don't really care. That, to them, is not something they're really worth arguing about. Most of your cosmic New Agers aren't really going to spend too much time arguing it. Some would, yes, believe in Darwinian evolution. Others, they don't even have a position on it. Some of them believe the Earth is eternal. Did you know many of these people that believe in Darwinian evolution today believed that the Earth was eternal? It's always been here. Until we have the laws of nature, the laws of physics, the first and second laws of thermodynamics come along. And wait a minute, the Earth can't be here because energy is being used up. The sun would have been burned up. We would have a real problem. So then we have to have the Big Bang. The Big Bang. We have to have a beginning. So they have changed horses in midstream so many times. But this is all based on two things, depending on the group you're in. Whether you're a secular humanist, whether you're a cosmic humanist or New Ager, it has the foundation of two things, for sure. More than two, but two for sure. Darwinian evolution and cosmic spirituality. Darwinian evolution, biological evolution, and spiritual evolution. That'd be the easier way to put it. Biological evolution and spiritual evolution. Biological evolution and spiritual evolution. These two groups can disagree on the question of origins and all of those things, but they can agree and unite on the concept of evolution. Whether it's Darwinian or whether it's spiritual, they can say, look, we don't need to argue biological. We don't need to argue spiritual. The secular humanist doesn't believe in the spiritual world. They believe you die, it's over, that's it. The cosmic humanist or New Ager believes in spiritual evolution, but they also believe the natural world is an illusion. But they can unite in their commitment of evolution, be it spiritual or biological, which is the foundation for this environmentalism. And more of your leaders in this world of ours, the leaders of this world, are committed to spiritual evolution. They're committed to things that are consistent with cosmic humanism or New Age. Think Al Gore, right? So at the foundation of this environmentalism is the idea of evolution. Now, whether you believe aliens, listen now, keep up with me, if you believe aliens are the product of biological evolution, or whether you believe they are product of spiritual evolution, they have rocketed beyond biological evolution to be part of spiritual evolution. You could believe that, as a New Ager does, a spirit or master guide is an individual more highly evolve through the process of reincarnation, and a spirit or master guide that will talk to you and help you write your books, i.e. Helen Schuckman, who wrote the New Age book, A Course in Miracles, the Bible of the New Age, who channeled a demon, an entity known as Jesus, but made it very clear, I'm not the Jesus of the Bible, but that's interesting, but wanted to be called Jesus. Didn't the Bible warn us in the epistles about many who will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, a false Jesus, another Jesus? Don't believe the Jesus of the Bible. Isn't that the consistent message of those who have alien encounters? You don't need God. You don't need Jesus. Jesus isn't the only way. You don't need Jesus for salvation. The Bible's not true. Consistent message from those who have claimed to have encountered aliens has a consistent message. That message is the doctrine of demons the Bible warns about. It's the doctrines of demons. Denial of the deity of Christ. Denial of the exclusivity of Christ. Denial of the authority of the Bible. Wow, isn't that interesting? These aliens just simply happen to be picking up the very message of Satan. Huh. Well, that might be a clue they are working for him, right? So whether you believe these aliens, those in the world believe these aliens are evolved through biological evolution, or whether they believe they have evolved beyond biological to now be evolving spiritually as a spirit or master guide, it matters not. Both camps can believe in a form of evolution that has allowed there to be intelligent life that has been around far longer than we have and has more knowledge than we have. In fact, they have that hidden esoteric knowledge that Satan said to Eve about. You will gain knowledge. You eat of the fruit and you will gain knowledge. Knowledge God doesn't want you to have. Knowledge that will make you equal with God. You will be like God. And these aliens, whether they have evolved biologically or whether they have evolved spiritually, either way, depending on the camp you're in, they have knowledge and wisdom we need to save, listen now, to save ourselves. And wasn't that the message of Satan in the garden? You don't need God. You can save yourself. You won't die. You won't die. You can save yourself. You won't die if you take this fruit. You'll have what you need to be like God, to be God, to be a God. Now the two camps can come together, whether it's biological or spiritual evolution, and say that we've got a crisis now. We've got an ecological crisis. Mother Earth, pantheism, all is God. Panentheism, God is in all. Mother Earth is revolting. We have overpopulation. We have the polluting of the rivers and the streams and the oceans and the water. The polluting of the air. We have overpopulation and ecological crisis, and we're all going to die because Mother Earth is responding accordingly. There needs to be a solution. And we better come together, all faiths, all people, and figure out our ecological crisis. But let me tell you something. There's going to be something else coming soon, and it's really on the horizon. It won't be just the ecological crisis they're going to use and have been using, as I prove for this ecumenical interfaithism in 92, this book. It's going to be a global food crisis. It's going to be a global financial crisis. It's going to be a global war. There's going to be a global war. They're setting it up. A global financial crisis, a global food crisis. Of course, the war crisis could create a greater ecological crisis with nuclear weapons. And the world is going to be in such disarray. And then someone steps forward who says, we have the answers. The left and the right can't get along. But then you have those within the left and the right that are getting along in the sense that they're starting to understand we've all been played for the left-right Hegelian dialectic. That's one reason why they need to pull the rug out from underneath us, folks, because they're about to be exposed for the crooks and scoundrels they are and the trillions of dollars they've stolen from the Treasury. And through money laundering and scams and schemes and the murder of the death shot, the clot shot that they knew would do what it's doing. They need a major crisis so we can't think about them because we're simply consumed with thinking of ourselves and surviving. But at some point, there's going to be even another great crisis, which I think will be beyond what this world could ever imagine. And people, well, the Bible says that people will be fainting. They'll be in such shock. One of the things that's going to bring such shock and fear on this earth, folks, are you ready? Is going to be the removal of Christians. Can you imagine the day that millions and millions of Christians are gone? Loved ones of loved ones are gone. Now, how will this be used? That brings us to the Pentagon, who says the mothership is in our solar system. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Several years ago, I worked with a team and we developed Extractgevity. It's an all-natural energy and health drink. All-natural energy and health drink. It includes bilberry extract, red wine extract, grapeseed extract, pine bark extract, and vitamin C. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go do your own homework on the benefits of these extracts that are loaded with antioxidants. You can order it now at mystore.com. You'll get a savings if you use the code B66. Use the code B66 and you'll save. It's available at mystore.com. Again, an all-natural energy and health drink. And, of course, I have to throw in the disclaimer. This product has not been approved or evaluated by the FDA. It's not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But please, check out the all-natural energy and health drink, Extractgevity, at mystore.com. Well, I just got an article sent to me. We'll get it up online, and I'll get Patrick Wood on TV tonight. There's an article that's just come up online. Trilateral Commission calls 2023, quote, year one of the New World Order. This was apparently at the annual plenary meeting, the Trilateral Commission 50th year. Isn't that interesting? Brand new article. I will deal with that tonight with Patrick Wood. Trilateral Commission calls 2023 year one of New World Order. Again, that's very interesting because remember Alice Bailey, the occultist who had a demon, who was an individual more spiritually evolved, she thought, Spirit Master Guide, said that the New World Order, and she wrote this 100 years ago, the New World Order would start coming into form in 2025. It's interesting because what is going on in Babylon? Right through Iraq, they're building $2.6 billion port system that will make that area one of the leading, if not the leading, global commercial site in the world, according to a secular article. That's what the Bible calls Babylon too. And it will be operational in 2024, completed in 2025. Folks, it's lining up. Now, as I said before the break, we won't take calls today. As I said before the break, the foundation has been laid for ecumenicalism, for an ecological crisis, pantheism, all is God, panentheism, God is in all. We've got an ecological crisis, and therefore we need to come together as one, spiritually, religiously, politically, for collective salvation, or we're all going to die. But now there's coming a financial global crisis, and there's coming a health crisis, a global health crisis, why we need to give our sovereignty over to the WHO, as they're trying to do by this May. And there's going to be world war, as we can probably see, which could create greater ecological crisis. We need someone, was it Henry Spanx, a prominent man in the common market that's credited as saying, we need such a man, be he God or devil, we will receive him. Well, what maybe they need in their mind is some of that, whether you believe it's spiritual or biological evolution, we need someone who is advanced biologically and or spiritually to come and tell us what we need to do to save ourselves collectively. And the world is ready for a collective savior. We just went through a book where we see the Southern Baptist, the Progressive Baptist, the Jewish, the Catholic, the Mennonite, on and on, the Baha'i. They're all ready to unite. They were doing this in 1992, they were doing this 30-something years ago. Oh, all the more ready to unite religiously, politically, economically. They're already fooling around with the doctrines of demons, ready to receive then one of the demonic representatives of Satan, who could easily, as Ron Carlson said in his book, Fast Facts on False Teaching, show up on the planet in a UFO and walk out and be an evolved species that has the answers. Now, you read that back when he put this book out, and this book came out in 1994, and you read that and you think, you know, Ron, that's a little over the top, isn't it, buddy? No, it absolutely is not. Because here's the headline, Fox News. Pentagon officials suggest alien mothership in our solar system could send many probes to Earth. New research paper in draft form comes from the Pentagon's All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Isn't that something? And it's too bad that Fox News has such trash on their website for their advertising, so I have to blow the screen up to hide all that. All right, here we go. Pentagon officials said in a draft document last week that aliens could be visiting our solar system and releasing smaller probes like missions conducted by NASA when studying other planets. Now, folks, you sleep well tonight. You sleep real well, snug as a bug in a rug, knowing that you got fools in the U.S. Pentagon that are spending taxpayer money doing work and research about contacting aliens. Instead of and they're busy trying to figure out how to condition the troops to shower with people of the opposite sex that are transitioning into being the same sex as them, but may not have had their surgeries complete, and they're trying to condition the troops not to be in shock and awe when it steps into the shower with them. They're busy teaching woke theology and understanding white rage per General Milley. I want to understand white rage. This is what your Pentagon's doing. So here where they are, Pentagon officials sent a draft document. There you go. A draft research report authored by Sean Kirkpatrick, the director of the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and Abraham Loeb, chairman of Harvard University's Astronomy Department, was released on March 7th and focuses on the physical constraints of unidentified aerial phenomenon. Now, we used to call them UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Now they prefer to call them unidentified aerial phenomenon. An artificial interstellar object could potentially, this is a quote, quote, an artificial interstellar object could potentially be a parent craft that releases many smaller probes during its close passage to Earth. An operational construct not too dissimilar from NASA's missions, end quote. That's what the report said. Quote, these dandelion seeds could be separated from the parent craft by the tidal gravitational force of the sun or by maneuvering capability, end quote. Isn't that interesting that they use these words seeds, particularly dandelion seeds? We all know what dandelions are, right? And you see them to go from yellow to the fluffy, silky white, and then you would pick one up as a kid, and then you would blow on it, and it would blow these white, silky, seeds, dandelion seed, would blow into the wind. Well, isn't that interesting? Because you have well-known and so-called respected evolutionists saying that the UFOs, the aliens, seeded planet Earth. Well, now they're back to their dandelion seeds, and they're coming down, and they're doing probes, and they have maneuvering capability. Well, isn't that interesting? Why are they doing this? Because they have a reason to try to say what these objects are that our own guys who are chasing them off the USS Nimitz say they aren't of this world. We don't got technology like that. Now, I heard some guy on a podcast the other day saying, oh, yeah, we've got technology like that. I'm thinking, not going to buy it. Not buying it. We got missiles we don't even know we'll get out of the silos. You think we got this? I don't think so. We'll cover this more tomorrow. We're just getting started.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.